Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, saluti, karab, guten tag, jawivi, vakat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison, Military Industrial Core Nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And we've been broadcasting now for 11 years, as heard on Air America, bringing you the vegan perspective, not available anywhere in the meaty. Oh, really? Oh, here's something from CBS Los Angeles. It says CBS Los Angeles featured a new UC, University of California Riverside, study showing, quote, that commercially cooked hamburgers cause more air pollution than diesel trucks, end quote. The study focused on typical commercial hamburger charbroiling. The equipment emits a large amount of particulate matter into the air, smoke, grease, combustible matter. The lead engineer in the UC Riverside study said, quote, for comparison, an 18-wheeler diesel engine truck would have to drive 143 miles on the freeway to put out the same mass of particulates as a single charbroiled hamburger. Can you believe that? So there you have CBS Los Angeles interviewed some people for their responses. One woman said, quote, either way, we're living in a world where we still go through pollution, but at least with this, we get the benefits. She's saying, at least we get the benefits of the hamburger. So she's willing to pollute the air at the rate of an 18-wheeler, a diesel truck traveling 143 miles on the freeway, for her one hamburger, for the benefits of her one hamburger. So one hamburger, huh? Okay. So the ground-up, putrefying, fecal-covered body parts of diseased murder victims. Maybe that one hamburger is the body parts of 100 animals. Could be 100 different animals. One hamburger. One bite of a hamburger. If contaminated as BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, can give your child mad cow disease, you know. So there's a benefit of one burger, right? Maybe that that one bite today, and in 10 years or 15 years, when she starts to lose her motor skills, when she starts to slip into dementia, when she suffers full-blown 100% fatal mad cow disease, and did I mention 100% fatal? This brain-wasting disease was, you know, that. Is that one hamburger really a benefit? UPI and elsewhere, I mean, it's been widely reported in the past on the suspicion that Alzheimer's is often misdiagnosed mad cow disease. There are connections that have been made with mad cow and Alzheimer's. Mad cow and Alzheimer's share a common protein, prion. So how would we know? How would we know? You know, the U.S. GovEnronment, a subsidiary of the meat and dairy industries, the U.S. GovEnronment, you know, basically when it comes to mad cow disease or BSE, the policy is don't ask, don't tell, don't look, don't find. Although we have found mad cow disease in the U.S. cow population in the past. And as you enjoy the benefits of that one color-dyed, antibiotic-rich, hormone-fortified, 143-mile, 18-wheeler diesel truck burger, another benefit is, oh, yeah, the 2,100 gallons of water wasted in the production of that one hamburger. Let's say it's a quarter pound hamburger, huh? So that estimate would coincide with the projections of the Swedish Water Institute. So take that gallon jug of water that you have there, pour that down the drain every day for about 6 years, and there's your one hamburger. Another benefit of that one hamburger is, well, who needs so many trees anyway, really, on the planet? You know, they all get in the way of the view, you know. You can't see the mall, you know, with so many trees. So, you know, so you can thank that one hamburger for the removal of 55 square feet of rainforest. One burger destroys 55 square feet of rainforest, clear-cutting to graze cows and or grow the yummy, delicious GMO soybeans or corn to feed to them. Your one hamburger, along with everyone else's one hamburger. Oh, how harmful could it be if I just have one hamburger, right? Yeah, and then 300 million other people say the same thing, huh? Well, that one hamburger requires, you know, along with everybody else's combined, requires that every minute of every day, a landmass the size of 7 football fields is destroyed in the Amazon rainforest. And in the U.S., 260 million acres of forest have already been clear-cut for animal agriculture. Another benefit of that hamburger is accelerated climate change. Who wants to guess, you know, how hot it's going to get? You know, when we can turn up the heat on our hamburgers and heat the planet to record high temperatures after record high temperatures constantly. Methane is a greenhouse gas estimated to be 70 times or greater a culprit than carbon in global warming. Huh? So it's your hamburger, your dairy, your cow burps and farts that are the greatest sources of human-caused methane emissions. People get upset with me when I call hamburger eating environmental terrorism. Ooh, that word is so scary. Huh? But, you know, I don't blame all the little hamburger eaters, you know, like that woman in the CBS LA news story, you know, who spoke of the benefits derived from the, you know, massive air pollution. I don't blame her for being the environmental terrorist that she is. One of the so many operatives for this planetary Al-Qaeda. I mean, she, like all the other hamburger eaters, is an unknowing suicide bomber. She is killing herself by eating the hamburger. Everyone around her, she's killing everyone around her, she's killing the animal, she's killing the planet. A victim of the propaganda of the meat industry or planetary Al-Qaeda starting at a very young age, you know, the brainwashing starts at infancy, you know, by America's number one terrorist disguised in his clown outfit. Yes, Ronald McDonald, America's number one terrorist. And you consider he targets children. You know, I'm so sad at such a young age, this planetary Al-Qaeda, you know, just trying to attract children like that, creating more and more unknowing environmental terrorists around the world. But, you know, we don't have to take it. We can stand up to the terrorism, you know. There's a reason why we are all meeting here today. It's not just luck that we've gathered here today. It's no accident. You have found the Department of Home Planet Security. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, the Department of Home Planet Security. Here we are. Our mission is to deprogram the environmental terrorism brainwashing administered by the true axes of evil led by Ronald McDonald and his planetary Al-Qaeda of McDevils, Murder King Kills Jr., When Dies, Jack the Ripper in a Box, KFC Killing for Cash, Up Chuck E. Cheese, Skin and Snout, that's what a hamburger is all about. All of these terrorists, you know, beheading everyone, right? Isn't that scary? The sight of it, well, at least they're beheading all the all the animals around them as they enroll so many people unknowingly to be suicide bunners, killing themselves with heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, while killing off the planet. And yet, deprogramming is simple. It's quite easy. If you don't want to be an environmental terrorist, just stop eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Go vegan. It's your choice. Either you're with the terrorists or you're with the vegans. And if you want to fight the environmental terrorism of meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption, support your Department of Home Planet Security. Go Vegan Radio. Either you make a donation now to Go Vegan Radio, or you're with the terrorists, okay? The vegan message and a mass movement toward veganism are the only ways to any planetary security. Either you donate to Go Vegan Radio, or you're with the terrorists. Seriously, even a donation to an organization that supports any meat eating, however humane or, you know, whatever, like, you know, so-called Humane Society of the United States, is a donation to planetary Al-Qaeda. So please stop, or your bank account will be frozen. I promise you that. Seriously, things are really serious. So we do have to move ahead with our environmentalism. And go vegan. You cannot be a meat-eating environmentalist. And, you know, the first thoughts on this subject perhaps were exposed by today's extraordinary guest coming up on the program, world-renowned author, humanitarian, activist, John Robin is coming up on today's program. He's one of the major speakers at the upcoming World Veg Festival in San Francisco and International Vegetarian Union Conference. So, hey, support this program. Be with the Department of Planetary Security. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Or, well, for archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.com.
Your support of the International Fund for Africa goes to direct aid for human babies and animals in need in Africa. Compassion for all beings is exemplified by the work of the International Fund for Africa, delivering critically needed medical services from the introduction of neonatal care in Ethiopia to the Homeless Animals Project for dogs, from the Rural Health and Development Project to the Veterinary Medicine Hospital Project, and promoting veganism as the best way to help people, animals, and the environment of Africa, the International Fund for Africa is leading the way. Its dynamic president, Dr. Antenna Roba, is a Houston emergency room physician who sees the deadly health effects of the standard African-American diet of animal products, and then goes home to Africa to witness the deadly environmental effects of the standard African-American diet there, as meat and dairy-based climate change devastates the continent. The message from the International Fund for Africa is, go vegan, Africa. No GMOs, no factory farms. Find out how you can help the International Fund for Africa help people and animals in Africa. Visit ifundafrica.org. Stop starvation. Save the environment. Visit ifundafrica.org. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special place, no meat, dairy, fish, or eggs in San Jose. Experience Vegetarian House, 100% organic vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. A favorite fine dining establishment since 1994, featuring a spectacular international menu embracing the cuisines of China, India, Thailand, Vietnam, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. Appetizers, soups, salads, entrees, and desserts that you simply must experience experience. Enjoy freshly squeezed organic fruit and vegetable juices. Committed to your fine dining experience, your health, compassion for animals, and the environment, Vegetarian House is powered by rooftop solar panels. Waste is composted or recycled when possible, and all to-go packaging can be composted or is biodegradable. The cuisine at Vegetarian House is GMO-free and organic. See the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. Experience one of the world's best 100% vegan organic restaurants. You'll love the bakery items. Raw desserts are available too. Have your next event catered by Vegetarian House. Whether you need power box lunches or it's a full banquet, call 408-292-3798. Vegetarian House. Now you know the way to eat in San Jose. 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. VegetarianHouse.us. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden would like to express its appreciation to Vegetarian House for its ongoing sponsorship of our radio program. To advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products, email bob@goveganradio.com. RecipeFactory.net. Create more delicious, healthful, and affordable meals. Visit RecipeFactory.net, where you can analyze existing recipes or create new ones. Customize to use or avoid specific ingredients. Meet your dietary, aesthetic, and budgetary requirements. Check complete protein, inflammation, and glycemic load. Create food and meal substitutes. Upload your recipes and download others. Visit RecipeFactory.net. Create at RecipeFactory.net.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. Broadcasting now for 11 years as heard on Air America. How do we do it? Well, we bribe the radio stations. We pay for airtime. And that's where you can help. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, or you can make a tax-deductible donation by visiting the website, goveganradio.com, and you can click donate and help us pay for airtime so that we can bring you the world-renowned speakers, the movers, the shakers, the progressive thinkers, as we have on today. It's a pleasure to welcome back and an honor to have John Robbins on the program again. He is a best-selling author, social activist, and a humanitarian who is the recipient of so many awards, the Rachel Carson Award, the Albert Schweitzer Humanitarian Award, the Green America Lifetime Achievement Award, the Peace Abbey Courage of Conscience Award. He is the author of so many important books, including the groundbreaking Diet for a New America, in 1987, this book has changed so many lives and has impacted on our culture. He is also the author of May All Be Fed, Reclaiming Our Health, The Food Revolution, Healthy at 100, The New Good Life, and No Happy Cows is his most recent book. John Robbins will be speaking at the World Veg Festival on Sunday, October 7th at the County Fair Building in Golden Gate Park. Welcome once again to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, John Robbins. How are you today?
Thank you. Glad to be with you. How are you today?
Terrific. It's a pleasure to have you on again, John. And I noticed that you've had a number of speaking engagements recently, including around the Bay Area. And the subject that seems to interest you at the moment has to do with GMOs. Is that at the top of your list, would you say?
Well, it's certainly near the top, if not at the top, because we have an opportunity in California in this election on November 6th to vote on a ballot measure, Proposition 37, which if it passes, and we think it will, would mandate the labeling of GMOs, of genetically engineered foods that are sold in our supermarkets. And this would be a first. There are many countries in the world that require this labeling. In fact, almost all industrialized countries do, but it would be a first for this country. Monsanto has fought it to the nail. They've threatened to sue states, including Vermont and Connecticut, that came very close to passing this kind of legislation. And they were able to intimidate those states because those states aren't that large. Their economies aren't that large, and Monsanto's has so much money that it can spend on a legal battle. They could bankrupt these states. Can't do it in California. And so we have an opportunity. We are the swing state right now in the nation. As California goes on this issue, so will the rest of the country go.
Mm-hmm. So this is the California Right to Know initiative to, you know, give us the right to know. They've fought labeling forever. I mean, I've been involved with many protests on this. And as you say, many countries around the world have their labeling in place. You can know if you're consuming GMOs. And yet about 80% of what's on the supermarket shelf does contain GMOs. And, I neglected to mention, I mean, one of the most interesting facets of John's life, I mean, is that you may know the name Robbins from Baskin-Robbins. John was to be the heir to the Baskin-Robbins fortune, but instead took another path of enlightening us to the truth. And I see that in your new book, John, No Happy Cows, you're connecting Monsanto with ice cream, your previous business, the family business, getting into the ice cream too, huh?
Well, yes, because one of Monsanto's genetically engineered products is bovine growth hormone. This is a substance that Monsanto produces. It is genetically engineered. They supply it to dairies. Dairies inject it into dairy cows who then give more milk. But at the same time as they give more milk, their udders become distended and infected with mastitis so regularly, so predictably, that with the shipment of the bovine growth hormone to the dairies, Monsanto also in the same package provides the antibiotics that they conveniently also sell, which are required to treat the inevitable udder infections that the cows will develop if they are injected with this product. Now, when you inject them also with the antibiotics, then you get some residues from those antibiotics in the milk and the cheese and the yogurt and the ice cream. You also get antibiotic-resistant bacteria developing, which is a very big deal in our medical world today because we are losing the efficacy of many of our antibiotics due to the development of bacteria which are resistant to them. And the primary place that resistance is developing is in livestock raising, where we are using these antibiotics to treat infections that aren't necessary and wouldn't occur in the first place if we were injecting these dairy cows with this bovine growth hormone. The connection with ice cream is that some ice cream manufacturers have said that they will only use milk from dairies that don't use bovine growth hormone. But other dairies haven't made that pledge, including Baskin-Robbins, and we are trying to get those to go along with the no BGH pledge. It's a step. There's so many steps we have to take. If we want to have a food supply that is nourishing to our bodies, that is reflective of our compassion, we can eat and we can look in the mirror at our food world, our food choices, at our relationship to food, and see self-respect and respect for life, instead of seeing a lot of times what if we look in that mirror, what we see is indulgence, convenience, and something that really is less than who we are.
John, was there one moment in your life? I mean, for me, I was in college. I was cooking a chicken one night. I looked down, I saw a body, and I said, you know, oh my God, I'm responsible for somebody's violent death. I can't eat animals anymore. Did you go along actually thinking that perhaps you would become CEO of Baskin-Robbins? But was there a moment of change in your life where a thought?
Well, there were a number of them that added up. One was that my uncle, Bert Baskin, my dad's partner and brother-in-law, my uncle, died of a heart attack at the age of 54. He was a young man, and he was also a very, very big man who ate a lot of ice cream. And his sudden and fatal heart attack was a shock to the whole family. And I loved him very much, and I felt great loss. And I asked my father at the time, do you think there could be any connection between the amount of ice cream that my uncle would eat, Bert Baskin, and his fatal heart attack at the age of 54, and my father said, oh no, his ticker just got tired and stopped working. And I could understand why my father might not be able to reflect on that question or consider the possibility that there might be a connection, because he had, by that time, manufactured and sold more ice cream than anyone who had ever lived on this planet. He didn't want to think that his product was harming anybody, or much less might have had anything to do with the death of his beloved brother-in-law and partner. But I felt there was a connection, or might be a connection, and I just thought ice cream isn't a healthy thing to be eating. And I also, here's the second thing that happened, right around that same period of time, in all the Baskin-Robbins stores in those days, behind the counter on the wall, there were these large photographs, sepia-toned photographs, of Guernsey and Holstein dairy cows grazing in beautiful Wisconsin pasture land. Beautiful pictures that evoked feelings of connection to nature and nature in its beautiful aspect. And I saw those photographs, and they evoked those kinds of feelings for me. That's what they were supposed to do. That's what they did. But one day I went with my dad to the dairy where Baskin-Robbins got most of its dairy products in the San Joaquin Valley. And it was a very different picture, because these cows were in dry feedlots. There were 20,000 of them in a feedlot. It was a factory dairy. It was nothing like the beautiful pictures on the walls. And it was this wake-up moment for me where I began to see, wait a minute, this food that we've been happily selling and enjoying eating, it's causing heart disease. It's manufactured at the expense of animals, with a tremendous amount of animal cruelty, actually. And then I began to investigate. I said, well, what happens to the calves that are born to these dairy cows? And, of course, they don't drink their mother's milk, because we sell their mother's milk as milk or pigmented cheese or yogurt or ice cream. And in fact, they're fed government surplus skim milk powder. And the males are made into veal. Because they can't obviously grow up into four-legged milk pumps like their sisters. And they're not good beef animals, so they're used for veal. And it's the system by which baby male calves born to dairy cows, which are half of the calves born to them, are made into veal, is one of the most cruel things. The amount of misery that's in the torture of these baby animals is unconscionable to see it. And I don't think, Bob, I don't think our listeners, you don't have to be an animal rights activist, you don't have to be an animal lover to find it abominable if you saw it. You know, if the veil was lifted, you actually saw what was done to veal calves. And from the hens that are laying the eggs that are in our commercial markets, to the pigs whose flesh then becomes our pork chops and our bacon, the whole industrialized food machine, the whole factory farm and feedlot system that we've developed to create cheap meat, cheap eggs, and cheap dairy products is an abomination. Really, it's an insult to us as human beings, as caring people. It's a violation of the human animal bond. It's a transgression of our responsibility to other creatures.
That is for sure, and then we get an advertising campaign that says "Happy Cows," right? I mean, the exact opposite is what the advertising campaign is.
Yes, and that's why I titled my latest book "No Happy Cows," is because there are, in truth, no happy cows in industrialized agriculture. That these dairies do not operate according to the principles of harmony with life and respect for nature and care for the animals. They may put phrases like that in their advertising, but that type of thinking does not enter the equation when they're developing their practices and making decisions about how they're going to treat the animals and where they're going to keep them and how they're going to house them and what they're going to feed them and when they're going to kill them and what they're going to do with them. It's a profit-seeking industry. These are economic creatures. Now, they don't wake up in the middle of the night thinking, how do we be cruel to animals? They don't. But they do wake up in the middle of the night thinking, how do we cut costs? And almost invariably, the practices that they then select to cut costs end up being ever more cruel to the animals. And I feel that if we should respect the other creatures who draw breath on this earth from the same source as we do, I think we should treat them as part of our greater families in some sense. We should be respectful to the web of life here. The whole earth community is something that we are a part of, and frankly, we need. And if we destroy it, we'll kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see our meat and dairy eating ways leading to destruction. I mean, you know, we get the report from the World Watch Institute of 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions being related to animal agriculture. We're talking to John Robbins. His latest book is No Happy Cows. You know him from the classic Diet for a New America and many other publications. We need to take a quick break. I'd like to continue talking about the new book with John Robbins. He will be speaking at the World Veg Festival in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, Sunday, October 7th. The event is October 6th and 7th. It is my honor again to MC. They haven't changed the locks on me yet, so I guess I'll be back there MCing the event, and I'll be speaking Sunday morning in the Garden Club room. John Robbins there on Sunday also. And we will continue. If you miss any of what we've been saying here, the programs are archived at goveganradio.com. You can also hear the program on your iPhone or Android. Go to stitcher.com/govegan. You can register for free. When you register, you have a chance to win $100. And if you listen to a whole show like this one, Go Vegan Radio gets $1. How do you like that? So we'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linton.
For as long as I can remember, I've been locked in this crowded, filthy cage. Constant abuse, deprivation, and suffering. Painful metal floor I can barely stand on. Day after day, month after month. This is my entire life. I thought we'd be in here forever. But then, something great happened. People began to take a stand for us. They started voting to get us out of cages entirely. The promise of a cage-free life. To no longer be trapped in a cage. But now, that promise is in danger of being broken. The egg industry is pushing federal legislation that would trade one cruel metal cage for another. And their bill could never be challenged or changed by state law or public vote. Even though most people want us out of cages. If we let the egg factories win, we'll never get out.
We'll never get out.
Keep the promise. Take action. Visit StopTheRottenEggBill.org. Fight the egg industry's plan to keep hens locked away in cages forever.
Animals and the Afterlife. It's the heartwarming book from author, animal lover, and animal communicator Kim Sheridan. Visit animalsandtheafterlife.com. Do animals have souls? What happens when they die? This book offers some amazing answers. Animals and the Afterlife provides comfort for anyone who has ever loved and lost an animal, and food for thought for anyone who has ever questioned the place of animals in the larger scheme of things. Read about Kim's experiences and the experiences of people around the world in Animals and the Afterlife, Forward Magazine's Book of the Year Award winner. See more about author Kim Sheridan at kimsheridan.com, her other books, films, and compassionate projects. And learn more about this amazing book and order it at animalsandtheafterlife.com.
With over 200 restaurants around the globe, Loving Hut is the largest chain of independently owned vegan restaurants worldwide. The first one in North America is in Milpitas, California, at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford University students and faculty enjoy Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. There are three Loving Hut locations in San Francisco, one in Elk Grove and one in San Jose. For the Loving Hut near you, visit lovinghut.us. You'll find Loving Hut restaurants throughout Southern California, too. And in the Inland Empire, there's a Loving Hut in Claremont and in Upland. Many of the goodies at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga are from the bakery at Loving Hut Upland. The people at Loving Hut are on a mission to save your health, save the animals, and save the planet from climate change and other environmental disasters caused by meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption. Who knew that saving the planet would be so delicious? Save the planet. Eat at Loving Hut.
Southern California's Inland Talk Express is KCAA News Talk 1050.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow me, stalk me, find me as Bob Linden, or Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Also on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio. And we're talking today with John Robbins, best-selling author, social activist, humanitarian. So many of us know him from his groundbreaking book from 1987, Diet for a New America. I meet so many people who say, I went vegan because I read that book. John Robbins has a new book out called No Happy Cows. He's also speaking at the 13th annual San Francisco World Veg Festival, which is this year is hosting the 40th International Vegetarian Union International Congress. And that is on October 6th and 7th, Saturday and Sunday, at the County Fair Building in Golden Gate Park, 9th and Lincoln Way. We hope to see you there. And you can see John Robbins there on Sunday. He'll be speaking there. And pretty exciting event this year, John. It's both the World Veg Festival and the International Congress there, International Vegetarian Union.
Yes, we are very honored to have the International Vegetarian Union have their annual conference here in San Francisco this time.
Yeah, it's always a great event. One of my favorites. One of my favorite weekends of the year. And so you're always writing on subject matter that interests me. And No Happy Cows covers a lot of ground and separated into various sections. But you talk a bit about change. I think you have the change in which I can believe, to tell you the truth. And you talk about the pig farmer again. I think we were introduced to a story similar to that, if not the same one, in Diet for New America, weren't we? Or?
Well, there was in Diet for New America, I talked about meeting him, this particular pig farmer, but I didn't tell the whole story. I told that in a later book, and then in No Happy Cows, I have an updated version of it because he's passed away now, and there were some further events that took place in his life that I was able to incorporate into this latest version. But the reason that I've written No Happy Cows in particular is because I want people to understand that there is a tremendous amount of greenwashing, or you might call it kindness washing, pretense. Their advertisement, industry's advertisements imply, sometimes actually go so far as to state that they treat their animals well, the animal's welfare is uppermost in their thinking and in their decisions, when that's not true. It's not true at all. They say that great cheese comes from happy cows, and happy cows come from California. This is the center of an advertising campaign that the California Milk Producers Association is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to bring to the public of the United States. Great cheese, they say, comes from happy cows. I don't know if that's true. It might be. Happy cows come from California. I beg your pardon. The California dairy industry is centered in the San Joaquin Valley. It's dry feedlots. These cows hardly ever, or if ever, see a blade of grass. Their manure is concentrated at egregious levels. It seeps down into the groundwater. It is ruining the water supply for much of Southern California. It is a pollutant of extremely significant nature. It's very dangerous. The cows themselves are undertreated and housed under conditions that violate their basic natures, that frustrate all of their natural instincts. When they give birth, their calves are taken away within 24 hours, oftentimes immediately at birth. This is not a happy cow. And you know, there's something, you know, if an industry is selling broccoli and they tag it as organic when it isn't, that's criminal. And they are actually cheating the people who, seeing a product, in this case broccoli, advertised as organic, are willing to pay a premium price for it. And it's not fair, it's illegal, it's false advertising, and we should never allow it. So, but by the same token, there are people who are willing to pay extra for dairy products or meats or other forms of animal foods that have been, that have come from animals who have been better treated than the industry norm. And when they advertise happy cows come from California in order to sell California dairy products, and it isn't true, that should be criminal. Just as sure as labeling products organic that aren't is. We should prosecute it. It's a violation of the trust. We should hold our advertisers responsible to the truth. And there's something going on in industry, in the food industry today, where they don't feel we have a right to know. They don't feel any compunction in lying to us about how the cows are treated. They're fighting Proposition 37, which would, if it passed, give us the right to know which foods are genetically engineered and which are not. And I think we do have a right to know. In fact, I think we have an obligation to know. They should be telling us the truth about how our foods are produced and what goes into them. And instead, they're fighting our ability to learn what is actually happening.
So, do we really want to know the truth? Well, they don't want us to know the truth, right? Because when we know the truth, I think we might be seeking some alternatives from what they're offering, right?
Well, precisely, and that's why they don't want us to know the truth, and that's why we need to know the truth. In this case, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is subservience.
And we all become victims of that ignorance and wind up unhealthy, destroying the planet. You mentioned, you know, throughout the book and I some topics. So you talk a bit about grass-fed beef in the book. You have some things to say about grass-fed?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who feel that grass-fed beef is a better alternative to feedlot beef. And in some ways, it is. But in other ways, it is not. And in fact, in some ways, it's worse. So it's hardly the health food and the panacea that some people are thinking it is. In particular, the reason that feedlot beef practices have been developed is to bring the animal to market weight rapidly. When you're feeding it grain concentrates, it gains weight very rapidly. And this is a cost-efficient feed conversion ratio for the industry. It enables them to sell the beef cheaper or have a higher profit margin. And that's why it's done. When instead you leave the animal on pasture, it takes much longer for that animal to reach market weight. And one of the consequences of that is the animal is out on pasture for a much longer period of time than it would be in the feedlot. And during that extended and more lengthy period of time, it is continually doing what these animals do. It is belching and farting. The technical term is eructation. It's eructating methane. It's hard to believe. This is not a joke. Bovine creatures are methane production factories through their eructation process. This is part of being a ruminant animal. But because they're out on pasture longer than they would be in a feedlot, they actually emit much more methane because it's over a period of time, greater period of time, than would the feedlot animal. And methane is a very big player among the greenhouse gas emissions. It is a very severe part of our problem with global warming. And so we find that the pasture-raised animal, the grass-fed beef creature, is actually contributing more to global warming than the feedlot animal, who was...
I heard 400%. I heard the methane level was 400% greater when at pasture than confined in the factory farm conditions.
Well, yes, that's a reasonable estimate. There are a number of figures, depending on how much of it's alfalfa, how much the types of grasses that they're eating, depending on the breed of beef animal, but these are nuances. Whether it's 400% or 365% or 411%, it's a great deal more. And for the consumer, who takes seriously their footprint, you know, wanting to live a small footprint life so that our impact on the earth is more beneficent and less damaging to future generations and to everyone on earth at the current time. These are important considerations. I don't think any of us is going to solve global warming by ourselves, but the collective impact of people making choices, including their food choices, that are as healthy for the world as possible, that cause the least amount of pollution, that produce the least amount of greenhouse gases, that is a very powerful thing. And when each of us makes a choice, coming from our own conscience, from our sense of connection to and respect for the greater world and the greater life that exists on this earth, that helps, I believe, to awaken the conscience in others, and it helps to bring our collective conscience to life.
And that is the perfect argument for us all to go vegan, I believe. We're talking to John Robbins. His latest book is No Happy Cows. You know him from Diet for a New America from 1987. Also, May All Be Fed, Reclaiming Our Health, The Food Revolution, Healthy at 100, The New Good Life. And again, as I mentioned, the latest is No Happy Cows. How can people get a hold of your books or be in touch with you, John?
Well, through my website, johnrobbins.info is one way. And also foodrevolution.org is another great way to reach me.
Mm-hmm. And again, you're covering so many fascinating topics in No Happy Cows. Some things that, you know, might interest people that, you know, may make them want to pick up the book. For example, I see here, Factory Farms, Biological Weapons Factories.
Well, you know, that may sound like a hyperbole, but unfortunately it actually isn't, because factory farms today are the reservoirs for the development of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And as these resistant bacteria proliferate from the overuse of antibiotics in factory farms, our antibiotics lose their ability to fight infectious disease. We've relied on these antibiotics, and they've cured many, many, many people from diseases that otherwise could have killed them. As these antibiotics become ineffective, these diseases then cease to be controllable and in some cases become lethal. So the net result of this, the tremendous overuse of antibiotics in factory farms to give us a little bit cheaper meat is that disease vectors that we had under control, we no longer do. And they become biological weapons. If we could control them, if our antibiotics still worked, or as long as they do still work, then these weapons have no potency over us. There's nothing much to fear. But what we have to fear as our antibiotics lose their ability to control these agents, these infectious agents, is extraordinary. It's very severe. It's very real. And everybody in Western medicine is paying attention to this. It takes it extremely seriously.
We're talking to John Robbins today. His latest book, No Happy Cows. John Robbins will be speaking at the World Veg Festival on Sunday, October 7th. Please go to my website, goveganradio.com, for information about the Dixie May Appreciation Dinner that we'll be doing at the Loving Hut that Monday evening, October 8th. Go Vegan Radio presenting that, as well as a special Go Vegan for Peace Feast with Cindy Sheehan which will be on the Wednesday, October 10th. So information for that at goveganradio.com. Talking to John Robbins today. As I mentioned, he's speaking at the World Veg Festival. And just a couple of more things I see of interest here in the table of contents. Oh, you talk about soy quite a bit, John. What soy, yes, no, pro, con? What do you think?
In No Happy Cows, I talk about the soy controversy at great length because it is a complex subject, and I don't want to just say yes or no because it is more complex than that. But if I was going to try and give a summary and be concise about what the research leads me to conclude, it's that whole soy products that are organically grown and are not genetically engineered are healthy for most people and represent a healthy part of an excellent diet. What isn't healthy are genetically engineered soybeans, and ironically today, soy is one of the crops that is most heavily genetically modified. So if you don't get soy that is organic, it is very likely to be genetically modified. Now, if we get labeling, we are able to pass Proposition 37 on November 6th in California, then people will know that. But in the meantime, your best bet really is to get organic. This is one of those foods where it really pays to get organic. And whole soy products, as opposed to isolated proteins made from soy, isolated vegetable proteins made from soy, a soy oil reduced to a vegetable oil. There's a lot of processing that goes on in those production of those products, and those processing steps require chemicals and denature the food in ways that I don't recommend.
Mm-hmm. And John, also in No Happy Cows, you know, when there was the Atkins diet, it was popular because people were told, oh, you can eat what you want to eat. Go ahead, eat all the meat you want. Well, we know where Dr. Atkins is now. But in your book, I see you mentioned something about the health benefits of dark chocolate. And as a chocoholic, I want to hear encouragement for my habit.
Oh, dark chocolate is really actually an amazing food. It's very high in antioxidants, polyphenols, numerous phytochemicals that are very helpful and beneficial to the body. They fight inflammation. They strengthen the immune system. And they're actually rather magical. The problem is, and what you need to be careful about, is a lot of chocolate products have a great deal of sugar, and many of them have dairy fats added. Milk chocolate, of course, is always made with dairy fats. So what you want to get is darker chocolates with a higher percentage of cocoa. And if you can, get them organic. This is another one of those foods where it really matters buying organic for a host of reasons. And so I would steer you towards organic dark chocolate that is not milk chocolate, but dark chocolate that has a cocoa content of 55%, 60%, 70%. These are high levels, but the flavor is stronger, and the health value is much greater.
Mm, great. That sounds like my diet already. I've been doing the right thing. Yay.
Yeah.
We're talking to John Robbins. His latest book, No Happy Cows. And again, I invite you to support the program. We have to pay for airtime. You can donate at goveganradio.com. And, John, we have maybe a minute left. And you mentioned the battle for our children. I mean, we don't have much time here, but people can follow up with getting your book. But, what are you saying there?
I didn't get the question, Bob.
You mentioned the battle for our children in the book. We have a minute left, and I just wanted to get, you know, an idea of what people can read in No Happy Cows on that subject.
Well, I'm talking there about how industry targets children with junk food ads and ads for foods that are bad for them. And we should prohibit that. I think we should protect our children from the predatory and exploitive advertising that is marketing specifically to little kids to get them hooked on foods that are going to make them obese, make them sick, and make them unhappy. I think we should ban that, and I think that the corporations that are aiming at children, it is a form of child abuse. and I think we really should do everything we can to stop it, protect our kids from it, and eventually make it illegal.
Okay. Thank you so much, John Robbins, for being with us today. We'll see you at the World Veg Festival. An honor to have you here. Again, I invite your support so this program can continue on air. Support us with a tax-deductible donation payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it is goveganradio.com.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Chris Earl Phillips. For this afternoon, sunny at a high near 97. Tonight, clear with a low around 68. Heading into the work week, we started off on Monday with sunny skies and a high near 95. Monday night, clear with a low around 68. On Tuesday, sunny and a high near 98. Tuesday night, clear with a low around 68. On Wednesday, sunny and a high near 101. Wednesday night, mostly clear, low around 69. On Thursday, sunny and a high near 101. That's your forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This October, introduce your wild ones to ours. Kids Free Days presented by Mission Fed at the San Diego Zoo and San Diego Zoo Safari Park. Did you hear that? All month long is Kids Free Days presented by Mission Fed at the San Diego Zoo and San Diego Zoo Safari Park. Visit soon and let your kids indulge their wild side. This October, introduce your wild ones to ours. All month long is Kids Free Days. For more details, visit sandiegozoo.org. That's sandiegozoo.org.
Welcome to Isla Earth. Kermit the Frog always said, it's not easy being green. But like him, another group of actors has discovered it can be